Hello, and welcome to Encircled, the Halber Pocket Podcast. Episode 9, the 27th of April. As the sun rose on the 27th of April, the 12th Army continued the progress it had made the previous day by pushing on further towards Potsdam. And by the evening, lead elements from 20 Corps had even reached the small town of Fesch on the southern shore of the Schwielersee Lake, roughly 10 kilometres from the southern outskirts of Potsdam. After the surprise of Wenck's attack the previous day, the Soviet forces in the area had been pushed back and different units were now completely cut off from one another. The 6th Guard Mechanized Corps was now stretched out over an area 28 kilometres wide and it was now isolated from the rest of the 4th Guard's tank army, whilst the 5th Guards Mechanized Corps and the 13th Armies now had to form a double front in order to face Wenck's 12th Army coming from the west, whilst also maintaining defensive lines in anticipation of Busse's 9th Army breaking out from the east. The fact the Soviets were struggling to withhold Wenck's attack and were now unable to hold a strong defensive line justified Wenck's decision to attack this section of the line in the first place. Wenck was quick to consolidate his gains, particularly on his eastern flank, which is the area where he would be receiving Busse's troops. After the 1st Scharnhorst Grenadier Regiment took the village of Riesdorf outside of Bielitz, Wenck ordered them to stop their advance and hold their positions there. Meanwhile, the 3rd Scharnhorst Regiment, which had reached the Schlach-Brachwitz-Buchholz line north of Treuenbrietzen, was likewise ordered to dig in and repel any Soviet counterattacks on their position. In the Halber Pocket, however, things were going from bad to worse for the 9th Army. After days of fighting, the pocket had been severely reduced in the north, east and south, and it now only measured 400 square kilometres across. There was simply no way to stop the Soviet advance in those sectors, because not only were the Soviet forces too strong for the defenders to handle, but the 9th Army was desperately trying to hot-tail its forces westwards towards Halber. This further weakened the defences in those outlying areas of the pocket. The area surrounding Gross Kurus came under heavy attack, with the 32nd SS Panzergrenadier Division, the 30th Januar, and the Panzergrenadier Division Kurmark having to withdraw from the towns of Prios, Storkow and Wendischwitz. And when pulling back, they had to abandon many vehicles due to the desperate lack of fuel, forcing the men to walk on foot. SS Captain Paul Kraus described the scene. It was now just a matter of getting out of the ever-narrowing pocket to the west, intact. More and more motor vehicles mixed with the horse-drawn cart of the refugees, in column after column, winding their way through the forest tracks to Halber, where the breakout was to take place. All the time there were enemy ground attack aircraft overhead, shooting at the throngs of people and vehicles, causing casualty after casualty. Bodies were flying through the air. Here and there vehicles were beginning to burn and were falling apart. Ammunition trucks were exploding. Chaos had begun and everyone pressed in from behind, no one wanting to leave the column or lose contact. It was not until late afternoon on the 27th of April that the stream of vehicles ceased, with only the odd column coming up behind. It appeared that the main body had reached Halber. The southeastern sector, surrounding Märkisch Buchholz and its important transport hub, was hotly contested, with the town changing hands several times during the 27th. And even Halber itself was infiltrated by Soviet infantry and was occupied, threatening the breakout sector completely. Halber was crucial to the 9th Army's hopes of reaching the west, and the German defenders desperately tried to hold on to the town. Heavy fighting erupted along the main street of Lindenstrasse, and the town was turned into a place of carnage. Nevertheless, despite the spirited German defence, Halber was taken by the Soviets. The 9th Army had to pull back from Halber, and Busse was forced to establish assembly grounds outside of the town in the vicinity of the Forsthäuser of Halber and Hammer. The Forsthaus at Hammer already housed Busse's army command, but now it was hosting thousands of soldiers, refugees, guns and tanks on its front lawn as well. Despite these setbacks, throughout the day and into the early hours of the 28th, 9th Army forces tried once again to push through the Soviet lines and reach the west. To the north, one thrust was aimed at Teupitz, and to the south, one thrust was directed towards Bayreuth. There doesn't seem to be much of a concrete plan for these breakout thrusts. However, it was hoped they would rendezvous with one another at the Kummersdorf Gut military range. As with the first breakout attempt by the battle groups, this second breakout attempt also ran headfirst into a maze of defensive traps and concentrated artillery, tank, and infantry fire. However, the two escaping groups were able to enjoy some limited success. In the northern thrustfire toy pits, the armoured spearhead, supported by thousands of infantry, smashed into the defence lines of the 54th Guards Rifle Division. They captured the town of Zesh am Zee, and they even surrounded the 160th Rifle Regiment. Lead elements from this thrust even advanced as far as the 3rd Soviet coordinate Neuhof along the road between Zossen and Beirut, and some small groups managed to break through that cordon and reach Paplitz to the south. The second breakout group, taking the southern route towards Beirut, also enjoyed some initial successes, and they even managed to encircle the Soviet 291st Guards Rifle Regiment at Radeland. And this rifle regiment was only saved from certain destruction by extra reinforcements, which were quickly dispatched from Beirut to save them. Despite these successes, however, the Germans once again faced heavy losses, and the breakout groups were dealt with in the same way as the battle groups had been dealt with in the previous breakout attempt. The men were worn down through attritional artillery and air force bombardment, and their lines were broken up by Soviet counterattacks. These counterattacks meant that the breakout force was broken up into smaller bodies of troops, which were then destroyed piecemeal by Soviet infantry and tanks into the morning of the 28th. The Soviet defences held, and the breakout failed. The losses were huge, and only a handful of German soldiers managed to slip away into the surrounding forests. According to Soviet reports, in this breakout attempt alone, over 6,000 men from the German 9th Army were taken prisoner, whilst 47 tanks and assault rifles, 25 armoured personnel carriers, 100 guns and grenade launchers, and over 1,000 motor vehicles were also lost. Due to the worsening situation in the Halbe Pocket, Busser reported the following. The physical state and morale of the officers and men, as well as the states of ammunition and supplies, permit neither a new attack nor a long resistance. The misery of the civilians that fled the pocket is particularly bad. Only the measures taken by all the generals have enabled the troops to stick together. The fighting capacity of the 9th Army is obviously at an end. Given the dire state of the 9th Army in the pocket, a direct plea was made by Army Group Vistula Command to the 12th Army that they urgently send forces east to link up with Busser's 9th Army's armoured spearhead, which was attempting to break out. The 12th Army replied that its Scharnhorst division was currently engaged in heavy fighting around Belitz, and that the Kerner division was likewise tied down engaging Soviet forces in Treuenbrietzen. These 12th Army divisions were fighting tooth and nail to simply hold their current positions in these areas, and thus they were unable to disengage and send their forces east to help the 9th Army. The message was clear. The 9th Army could not rely on the 12th Army to ride in and save the day. If the 9th Army was going to survive, it would have to save itself and reach 12th Army lines. But this was proving ever more difficult to achieve, because as the events of the 27th showed, the regrouping of Konev's forces and the strengthening of his defences west of Halbe was having the desired effect. Every breakout attempt the 9th Army launched was failing. Therefore, for the beleaguered 9th Army to finally break through Konev's lines, an organised and overwhelming force would be needed. The stage was thus set for the 9th Army to embark on its largest breakout attempt yet.